Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet on this feast day of St. Icarus. He was the son of an army officer and sent to Poitiers, France to be educated for a military career. His mother, having seen his intense piety and his scholarly leanings, intervened and arranged for him to make his own decision about his career. Icarus chose the religious life and entered the Benedictine order at John's Abbey. He remained a monk for almost 40 years, and when a new Benedictine monastery was founded by St. Philibert in Quinque, Icarus was appointed as prior to the new house. He died in 687 and was an example of daily fidelity and scrupulous observance of the monastic rules of his order. We've got a great show for you today on St. Gabriel's Trumpet. Carrie and Bill Messerly will talk about our upcoming spirit drive. Katie Ryzenga came in and she'll tell us about Opus Domini, a Catholic homeschooling group here in Central Ohio. Matt Palmer talks to Mike D'Andrea about Joe Dury and the impact that he had on others. But first up, David Clayton is an iconographer, a teacher, and author who focuses on the link between Catholic culture, art, and liturgy. He will be conducting an icon workshop in Columbus. The workshop is a Monday through Friday retreat, beginning in the morning with morning office, then Mass. Meals will be provided in the workshop, lasts all day, finishing with evening prayer and dinner. It will be held at the St. Therese Retreat Center, Monday, October 20th through Friday, October 24th. David spoke with Carrie about the art of iconography and what can be expected at the workshop. His beautiful work can be seen at thewayofbeauty.org.
Joining us today on the trumpet is David Clayton, who is an iconographer who does beautiful work with his icons and will be coming in and doing a workshop for us here in Columbus. David, welcome to the trumpet.
I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you.
So tell us what someone can experience when they're taking your workshop.
Well, they will learn how to paint in a traditional style. We'll be looking at an English Gothic style, such as you might see in the Westminster Psalter. So this is 13th century, and they would paint on high-quality paint paper. It's an illuminated manuscript, and they're learning the skills of drawing and painting in an old medium called egg tempera, which is what was used in medieval times, where you actually put pigment into egg yolk and make the paint like that. And so I'll be teaching people how to do that. Along the way, they learn also about the symbolism of what they're doing. We copy some original images, so they will understand what it is they're painting. And also, they will understand how this is related to worship and prayer, which is very important for sacred art. It's not just something to be admired for its beauty. It's an aid to our worship that we hope brings us closer to God.
And tell us some of your background and experience. How did you begin to start writing icons, and how did you start on this path, this real vocation of writing icons?
Well, I'd always wanted to be an artist and just had been looking for a direction to go in. So I'm now 50, and this I'm talking now in my mid-20s. I'd never studied art, but I just thought this is what I wanted to do. So I was dabbling a bit in that and doing evening classes and this sort of thing. Around the same sort of time, I started to develop an interest in the faith that eventually led me to converting in my early 30s. And so it just seemed natural then that the two should go together. The other thing is that through the faith, I was given a sense of the idea that everyone has a personal vocation. So I got some very, very good vocational guidance from somebody. This is back in England, where I'm from. And I was encouraged to aim to be an artist. And I think before that, I'd just been too scared. I'd assumed that it wasn't possible and so few people made money at it and this sort of thing. But with the faith, I was encouraged to believe that if that's what I went for, because there was, you know, it was a very strong desire. that even if that isn't what I eventually became, it was going to take me in a good direction and it would lead me to what I was meant to be doing.
Well, I can tell you, you're very gifted. Your artwork is on your website. Would you share with us a website where people can see where you've really tied in the beauty of your art and the liturgy and where they can learn more about it?
Certainly. It's all the W's, thewayofbeauty.org. So the way of beauty is all run together, thewayofbeauty.org.
Well, thank you, David, for sharing this with us, and we look forward to seeing you here in Columbus in October.
I'm looking forward to it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
For more information about David's activities in Columbus, you can contact Gina Switzer at ginasicons@gmail.com. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet at 6 minutes past the hour. In our conversation segment today, Matt spoke with Mike D'Andrea, whose friend Joe Dury passed away recently. Mike will share how Joe embodied the four signs of a dynamic Catholic. They are prayer, study, generosity, and evangelization.
Mike, we're so glad to have you in the radio station today. Good morning, and thanks for being here.
Good morning, Matt. I'm honored to be here.
We are, I think both of us feel like this is a very special St. Gabriel trumpet. We're honored, I know both of us, to share with our listeners the life of Joe Dury. And the Lord called Joe home a few weeks ago. For many of our listeners, you'll recognize that name. Joe is the father of Father Dan Dury, the pastor at St. Catherine Parish, my parish. And as we thought about someone that we might share with our listeners today, Joe certainly came to our hearts and minds for the exemplary, deep life that he lived as a Catholic, as one who loved Christ and imaged Christ so well. So, Mike, as a longtime friend of his and a great brother in Christ for him, would you start by maybe telling our listeners just a little bit about Joe's life, where he grew up, his family, and let's just help our listeners at least understand that before we move on into his faith life.
Well, Joe grew up here locally. He went to St. Mary's, and I got to know Joe about 25 years ago, so I didn't know a whole lot about his education. But what Joe was a great example of what a vibrant Catholic looks like. He projected Christ's love to others, not so much through words, but more so through his actions. He had a beautiful smile, and kindness was all around him in his words and his thoughts. Joe knew his number one job, Matt, in life was to get himself to heaven, his family, and as many people as possible. And he did have a game plan for that. His game plan, Matt, was very similar to what Matthew Kelly talks about in his book, Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic. Mm. Matthew, in his studies for the book, finds out that only 7% of Catholics are what we'd be qualified as a dynamic Catholic. And Joe was one of those. The four signs were prayer, study, generosity, and evangelization. And if you don't mind, I can break down the four signs and how it affected Joe.
Yes, let's take each one. I think our listeners would be so blessed to see how Joe took each one of those signs and lived them so beautifully. So yes, take each one and share a little bit with us.
Well, prayer. For Joe, that meant daily Mass, daily Rosary, and many holy hours. Father Dan Dury talks about Joe at the funeral Mass that he had taped on his mirror in the morning many different prayers that he wanted to say first thing in the morning before he did anything. Joe's phone alarm, Father Dan found out while he was in the hospital, was set at 3 o'clock every day so that Joe would stop and do the Divine Mercy Chaplet. He had a great devotion to the Blessed Mother. He was very close to Mary and, you know, did many novenas. Joe, coming to study now, Joe studied constantly. One of the things that I know helped Joe study was Catholic radio. 8:20 a.m. was always on in his car. He did paint work for a lot of friends of mine and myself. When he came to your house, he would have the radio on 8:20 listening while he was working. He was often at retreats, I remember for years I'd go to St. Teresa's once a year for the weekend for a retreat. Joe was always there. I remember one night that I woke up at 3 in the morning on a weekend retreat, went into the chapel, and Joe Dury was sitting there praying at 3 in the morning. Just a special man. He went on pilgrimages, you know, as part of his study. Joe had gone to Lourdes, Fatima, the Holy Land, Rome, Medjugorje, and those are the ones that I knew of. He had many DVDs that he watched to educate himself about our faith, and he just continually studied and learned more. The third sign, generosity. Joe gave his time, treasure, and talent. Joe was a painter by trade and took great pride in doing his work to a complete satisfaction of his customer and at a great price. I'm in the car business. I remember negotiating with Joe backwards, which means his price was always too low. And I'm like, Joe, you have to be more fair to yourself. And it just really felt different negotiating that way. But that's the kind of guy Joe was. He was so proud to do a good job, and he was so proud to make you happy. Joe was extremely generous, though, with his prayers. You know, Joe could care less about money. So the thing that he had abundance was prayer, and he would give that freely. I know Joe suffered for the last 3.5 years with cancer, and I know he offered a lot of that suffering up for his friends and family. And, you know, Mother Teresa used to say suffering is the greatest gift God gives us. And Joe used that suffering in a good way.
Father Dan shared in the homily mass, the funeral mass, that he had a great desire for the salvation of souls. His father had this burning desire to see souls saved, and that he would offer his suffering during these recent years when he battled cancer for the salvation of souls. And I was just so touched. How are we all praying for the salvation of others and our own salvation? And he certainly was committed to that.
And I think it's good to hold somebody like Joe up, you know, now that he's passed, to say, this is important to us as well. Joe knew something, and it reminds us to pray for them. And Joe was definitely a good witness for that. The fourth sign, Matt, is evangelization. His life was a witness of love of Christ in the world. He projected joy all over his face. He made others around him feel proud to be Catholic Christians. Matt, like you, I've been blessed to know many wonderful Catholics locally and beyond. However, it is rare to find one like Joe Dury, because Joe went so deep into the heart of Christ. And he had such a loving, healthy relationship with the Blessed Mother. She was a spiritual mother to him. And he had that childlikeness throughout his life. And I think God just loves, that is who God is love. And Joe projected God's love. I want to say this to people in the listening audience as well, that Joe was a divorced and remarried Catholic. And I think that sometimes you struggle with that out there, that you could still become a saint and a very holy person, even though you've been through a difficult divorce and a remarriage. And don't get discouraged. Joe was a great example of somebody who struggled through that and kept his faith strong and vibrant.
What a wonderful reminder, Mike, because I do think many of our listeners find themselves in that situation and maybe feel that they have nothing else to offer the church, that they're, you know, they've moved through that particular event, and that their testimony and their life is one that may not be able to become saint-like. But yet, Joe is a reminder that we can overcome all things through Christ who strengthens us, and he certainly did that. One or two times that I met Joe, I remember how soft-spoken he was, but this beautiful smile. He was a very simple, humble, loving man, and that came through in just the couple of times that I met him.
Yes.
You know, for our listeners, this is a man that, again, was a commercial painter. He did not have wealth. He was not a man that had resources, but what he had was a heart filled with love for Christ. And Mike, I'm just so glad that you could take time today to come and just share with our listeners this beautiful life that Joe Dury lived. There's a prayer, and I'm wondering if you might lead our listeners in this prayer that that Joe prayed every day, and maybe you could share this prayer with us if you know the background of it, or and we'll close today with you leading us in this prayer.
This was one of the prayers that he had on his mirror that his son, Father Dan, said that he prayed every day, so I'd like to share that. My Lord and my God, take from me everything that distances me from you. My Lord and my God, give me everything that brings me closer to you. My Lord and my God, detach me from myself to give my all to you. Amen.
Amen. God bless Joe Dury, and thanks, Mike, for sharing today.
Thank you, Matt.
Here are some events coming up in the diocese you might be interested in. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal is presenting a Life in the Spirit seminar every Monday evening from September 29th through November 10th from 7 until 9 p.m. at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Church, 3730 Broadway in Grove City. For more information, you can call 614-914-8556. Ladies, mark your calendars for Saturday, October 4th in Zanesville for the Beauty of the Feminine Catholic Women's Conference. It's hosted by St. Thomas Aquinas Church in Zanesville and will be held in the church's gym. Speakers include Sister Mary Diana, Emily Stimson, Father Jonathan Wilson, and Teresa and Dr. Michael Parker. The conference runs from 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. and includes Mass and lunch for only $20. For more information, you can visit the website www.thebeautyofthefeminine.weebly.com. This weekend, St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish in Portsmouth will have their parish festival. They're located at the corner of Market and 5th Streets, Friday from 6 till 10, Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday from noon until 5 p.m. Opus Domini, Works of the Lord, is a Catholic homeschool group serving Columbus, Ohio, and surrounding areas. Their members belong to Catholic parishes all over the Columbus area. They are a group of families who have chosen to educate some or all of their children at home. They are diverse in their schooling approaches, but united in their desire to raise their children to be followers of Christ. Recently, Opus Domini launched their online support for parents. The issues that parents face while homeschooling their children can be challenging. The parent support group is very beneficial in helping parents overcome some of these challenges. Karen Migalski met with Katie Reisenga, a coordinator of Opus Domini, to talk about the parent support group.
Joining us today on the Trumpet is Katie Reisenga, who is the coordinator of Opus Domini, a Central Ohio Catholic homeschooling group. Welcome to the Trumpet, Katie.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So let's talk about Opus Domini. You have a parent support group. What are some of the challenges that parents face as they're trying to homeschool their children?
Well, it's a big undertaking. And those of us who are committed to Catholic homeschooling see it as a call, our calling, our vocation at this point in our lives. And we give everything to do it and to be home with our children. But sometimes it can become isolating. Sometimes we're home all day with our children. And it can be difficult to know, am I doing it right? Am I doing enough? And so it's so helpful to be able to talk to other parents with the same vocation, the same calling, who are committed to the same work, just to share resources, to pick one another up at the end of a hard day, to encourage one another. There are so many ways that the support of other moms doing this builds up the homeschool and what happens every day in our own homeschools.
So you have some online support as well as other activities the parents can do with each other?
We do. We have a brand new website that we are very proud of. It is at homeschoollife.com. What you need to do is go to homeschoollife.com and then search for Opus Domini there. Opus Domini, by the way, means works of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we believe we're doing what we're doing, as I said, as a calling from God to raise up our families, to be the prime educators in our families, to teach the faith and hand it on. At our website, there are lots of resources for parents who may be interested in homeschooling, who aren't sure, are discerning, or those who are already homeschooling. There are links there, inspiration, prayers, articles, our newsletters, but also ways to get in touch with other homeschool moms. We have a forum there where you can post questions and prayer requests and where we communicate with each other. But we also, that is our communication spot for our gatherings. We're not just an online group. We're a group of families who gather for Mass on First Fridays. We have get-togethers, parties, celebrations on All Saints Day and Valentine's Day and many points during the year. So it's an opportunity for families to meet one another, find places and ways to gather, for the moms to support one another, and also for the children to find friends who are in the same situation that they are.
Well, Katie, this sounds like a wonderful way that you support the parents in the Opus Domini Catholic homeschooling group. So thank you for your service and your work, and we look forward to giving these resources to different parents.
Thank you.
The purpose of the Opus Domini group is to facilitate communication and friendship among Catholic homeschooling families to grow in the faith and assist in finding resources for these things. More information can be found at homeschool-life.com. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. It's 22 minutes past the hour. Join St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 during our Fall Spirit Drive this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We go live on the air with our local priests, sisters, deacons, and seminarians as they reflect on best of clips of our weekly programming. Please tune in to AM 820 to show your support and participate with our Fall Spirit Drive. St. Gabriel Catholic Radio is listener supported, and your generous financial support during this time helps keep the doors open and the lights on and Ohio's airwaves alive with the Word of God. Bill Messerly, Executive Director of St. Gabriel Radio, talks with Carrie about why the Spirit Drives are so important.
We are joined today by Bill Messerly, the Executive Director of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Bill, welcome to the Trumpet.
You know, Carrie, it's nice sitting here with you. We see each other each day, and this is an exciting time of year. The Spirit Drive starts this week. It's an important time for St. Gabriel Radio, important time for us financially, but really, the Spirit Drive is a celebration. It's a celebration of the good things going on in our diocese, in our parishes, in our schools. We have an opportunity to show that light with volunteers that come in, hundreds of volunteers. We have our priests and religious that are coming in each day. We have volunteer hosts. We have testimonials from many, many people. So it's a great time to celebrate how our faith is growing here in Central Ohio and beyond on AM 820.
Absolutely. And we love seeing our volunteers twice a year. But can you explain a little bit more? What exactly is the purpose of our Spirit Drives?
You know what? It's a fun time. But these 3 days out of the 365 is set aside so that we can, as a listener-supported station, continue doing what we've been doing day in and day out over these last 6 months. There's a little bit of a gap in our funding. We have funding from our businesses that support us day in and day out. But we only have a few minutes every hour through EWTN to support the station in that capacity. So most of our support comes from you, our listening family, and that's an important time for us to remind you that we need your support over these next few months to bridge that gap between what we're receiving from business support and, really importantly, sustaining members that have committed to supporting us month in and month out so that we can receive the money and the funds needed to continue bringing great programs like Father John Ricardo, Catholic Answers Live, Mother Angelica, our local programs now that are at noon, which is a fantastic segment for our local programs. So to continue doing that, we need your support, and we'll get on air at 7:45 Wednesday, and we'll go through 6 p.m. Friday to encourage you to join in this important mission. So if you haven't done so recently, we encourage you to do so in the next few days.
Bill, can you share, what are some of the different ways that people can participate during the Spirit Drive?
Well, the best and most important way is that if they could lift up the station in their prayers, offer some sacrifices in their lives over these next few days so that St. Gabriel Radio is wrapped in the mantle of protection and is supported by God in its efforts to bring good, solid Catholic teaching to listeners all over Ohio. So please pray for St. Gabriel Radio, and secondarily, support us financially. We do need financial support so that we can fill in those financial gaps that exist to run the operation day in and day out. There are different ways to give. You can give any amount. You can give $5, $10, $20, $500, $1,000, $5,000. The amount's not important, but the participation is important. We know that we have about 20,000 listeners in Central Ohio that are Catholic, and another 20,000 are non-Catholic. But of those 20,000, if you are one of those individuals, we ask you and encourage you to just take that step and make a commitment to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Another way to contribute is with a sustaining membership, and sustaining members are particularly important because they help with our ongoing support every month. Sustaining members give $20 a month or $240 a year.
And as the listeners will be hearing all during the Spirit Drive, you can participate by calling us at 614-459-4820, or you can donate online. And also, there's other information on our website that you can go to, maybe sign up for our volunteers or bring in food for us.
Yeah, that all sounds delicious and good. do pray for us. Do get involved. Stop by the station at Winterset Drive and Henderson Road. We'll see you in the next few days. For those who've already given a gift, a matching gift, to help kick off the Spirit Drive, we thank you and continue to tell your friends and family that St. Gabriel Radio needs you at this time of year.
Thank you, Bill, for joining us, and we look forward for an exciting Spirit Drive.
Tune in to AM 820 on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to participate in this exciting drive. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. Hope you learned a little something today. If you've got something crazy good going on in your parish or an event that you'd like to talk about or think we should focus on here at St. Gabriel's Trumpet, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the entire St. Gabriel's Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.